What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Welcome to Inside Out Empowerment. This is your host, Joshua Nussbaum. What's up? I am giving you a gift today of my personal attorney and friend, a huge subject that goes wildly under-addressed until you need it, is the legal aspects of growing your business and approaching it the right way from the start. Admittedly, in my vast legal experience, for those of you that don't know, I survived my first year of law school before dropping out and running for the hills to start Rev Labs back in 2011. There is so much time and effort and expense that you can save, regardless of whether or not it's glamorous. There's no worse feeling than running into a handcuffed situation, a fucked, there's nothing I can do about it, or strangulating your cash flow, especially if you're not in your infancy, but if you're like in the toddler phase of your business and you're starting to, you know, speed walk, jog, trot, you're about to start running and then something snags you. You know, by the time you're big, God willing, you have your legal stuff in order. You know, Jonathan has helped me out with a lot of stuff, both personally and professionally. So I asked for him to come on and kind of talk a little bit about some of the legal elements of starting a business and how you can save money by being preemptive without spending a shit ton of money on legal expense. But before we get to any of that, Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, bro.
You're very, very welcome. I expect that appreciation note in writing. It needs to be a notarized affidavit or on Instagram, otherwise it didn't happen.
We need three witnesses, though.
Shit, we have three people in here, two of which are a party to the contract, so I don't know.
I'll let it slide this time.
Oh, thank you. Fuck. He's a mensch. He's a real mensch. Dude, so talk to me about what you have going on, what your grind is like, and then I want to back into how you got into this point in your career. Tell me who you are, what you do. You give your own introduction, because I don't have my notes and the resume thing we forgot to follow up on. But I know you're gangster only from experience, but make yourself sound important in like a 1 minute spiel.
I don't know that I need 1 minute, but you know, I've been doing this litigation thing for about 12 years now. And I didn't do, a lot of people, you know, they finish normal their class, they go to a top law school, blah, blah, blah. I didn't do all that. I decided to kind of roll up my sleeves and do it on my own. So my first couple years out, I was really just learning the game, you know, how you litigate. But the more I began doing that, I realized it's really about making relationships. And that's how all things are, no matter what kind of business you're in, whether you're a lawyer, whether you scrape barnacles off a boat. You
know? I just watched The Replacements, like, literally last night with Noah and Liz, and Keanu Reeves, before he got redrafted to the NFL during the strike, scraped the barnacles off of the bottom of a boat. Totally, really, really relevant legal trivia.
Yeah, I actually went to, the reason I said that is because I went to do a lot of networking stuff, which is really important, we'll talk about in a little bit, but I went to an event two nights ago, and now that I have a 19-month-old at home, and
what's his, her name?
Mason.
That's right, yeah. I knew that. And yeah. What is your second one going to be called?
Don't know yet.
Oh, I thought you
just
had two
It for
M's.
Now.
Just It.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Or Thing.
Thing.
Yeah, but...
What is Mason's middle name?
Eli.
Now, what were you saying you call him?
Mace.
Mace, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, Mason, that's not what I was thinking.
He actually has his own Instagram page called Ice Cream Man Mace, because he loves his ice cream and he just devours it. So,
way to start building the asset. You know, great. God, you know... God willing, Instagram is still a thing when he's a teenager, and when everybody else is like making their Instagram, he's gonna have like, you know, 80,000 followers, and the demographic might evolve a little bit between now and then, but like at least all of the people that know him are gonna like, he's gonna step right into fucking social haven.
It's gonna be Instagram on ProRev.
I like that.
You like that?
I like that very much.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm at this mixer, and I was saying you gotta really balance life and work, and you know, make sure that you're spending your time wisely. So I pick and choose what I go to, and I go to this networking event. I pay $250 for it, right? So I'm like, oh, this is going to be fertile stomping ground. I'm going to have, you know, millionaires left and right. First person I go up and I'm chatting with.
Please tell me you scrape barnacles off a boat.
What do you do for your living? I scrape barnacles off the bottom of boats. And I said, thank you very much. Is my name tag. I'm out. Refund my $250. I didn't ask for my money back, but I did leave.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's about building relationships and growing relationships. And
is that the main focus besides for litigating, obviously? Is that the main thing that you're doing right now with your business? Explain to me what you have going on. Like, what is your main hustle like? What kind of law do you practice?
So my firm is a full-service business boutique firm. We've got people who do the contracts, transactional stuff. That's too boring for me, though. I can't just sit behind my desk. I like getting out.
I liked contracts.
Do you?
I did. I liked studying them anyway.
Yeah, it's too boring for me. I like going into court, arguing with intelligent people. Fucking with people during depositions, impeaching people, you know, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's what gets me excited. I know it's pretty pathetic, but
not really. I remember the first time I saw your teeth, I was like, holy shit, I thought this guy was a nice little Jewish boy. Like, you have a fucking pair on you and you can get mean when you need to. I told my dad, I was like, dude, I'm like, literally, I was like typing to him. I'm like, I'm fired up.
I take it personally.
I think you called the opposing side a little bitch.
He was a little bitch. Totally. And if you're a little bitch.
Presently a little bitch.
He was, is, and always will be. No, I take it personally when my clients get sued. Mm-hmm. Because it goes back to, I build relationships. And I don't go out and hand out business cards. It's not how you do it. You become friends with someone, and they trust you, and therefore, when something shitty happens to them,
you're the guy that goes to
bat. They come to me, and they're like, hey, something shitty happened to me. And I take it personally, and I go to bat for them. And so the main things that I do are employment litigation and business litigation.
Are you mostly on the on the plaintiff or on the defense side?
Good guy side.
The good guy side.
Yeah, so I pick and choose who I represent.
Mm-hmm.
And I am kind of a full service shop for that person.
Yeah.
And I am a litigator, but I like thinking of myself as a risk mitigator.
I like that.
Because, yeah, I'll go to bat for you if necessary, but I want to keep you out of that trouble.
Right. Preempting it.
Exactly. Like you said, and there's certain things that we'll get into. But I think it's also important, just for foundation purposes, that was very lawyerly and stupid, but I was at the big firm.
Uh-huh.
I was making six figures. I was offered a partnership. I had a cozy deal, and I wasn't happy. There was something missing.
Did you not have the autonomy to, like, pick your deals or pick your clients?
Totally. Okay. Totally. That was part of it. You're at a big firm. You do what you're told. You service clients who are institutional that come to you that you don't have those relationships with. And I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't passionate about what I was doing like I am now.
I've started and stopped so many fucking things in life on the basis of feeling it or not feeling it. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many judgment calls I've made. It drives Liz a little bit crazy. She's at the point now, though, when I'm like, I'm not feeling it. Where she's like, cool, we're not doing it. I feel you. That's plenty of reason for me, just so you know. Like, just not feeling the jive of what is occurring. Like, the anecdotal stuff or, like, the hard fact evidence stuff can back up the feeling, but the feeling is the most important part.
And the hardest part is explaining it to your fiancé, your wife. Sidebar here. Josh and my wife went to college together, so.
And your uncle and I have done business. Like, Jonathan and I are connected through a bunch of different ways and are randomly super close in age and in a lot of the same, like, community circles, and randomly hadn't really worked together until semi-recently.
December.
But he's, like, kicked ass and taken names, and he's, like, he's a young stud, and I like old studs and young studs alike, but, you know, someone being my age that has become someone I rely on to go to and say, hey, X, Y, and Z is the circumstance. Give me your perspective. Give me your thoughts. How good is our case? How bad is our case? Hey, this person's doing this. I want them to knock it off. What is the potential recourse? What are the potential remedies? What can we do? I'm like, you know what? If I have an asset, I figure, you know, I'm sharing all of this, my social media stuff and all of my perspective stuff. I'm sharing, you know, my insight and how I approach different problems. I'm like, let me just fucking share my goddamn attorney with you guys, because more than being coupled with being an attorney, he's also a fucking really dope human being. And I've always found that, like, if you go to an agency and it feels like an agency for marketing and it's missing the personal contact and they're talking to you and they're quote unquote servicing you, but they are not like getting enrolled in your vision, the marketing is never as effective. Well, you want your attorney to be your attorney more than you want your attorney to be your friend. But exactly like he said, if he takes it personally, and if you are aligned with people that take it personally on every front of your life, you're going to watch the level of protection and the walls around your baby go up like fucking Rome or the Great Wall of China. And that's what you want when you're building something that's close to your heart. But I deviate.
So, no, it's fine. It goes back to not feeling it. I wasn't feeling it, and I just wanted to do something bigger. There wasn't really a lot of room for growth, and growth is a scary concept, and it really has to come from the inside out, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
You're welcome for that little nugget.
I appreciate it. That was punchy, poignant, yeah. And witty, sir. Yes. Can we tip Jonathan? Do you have any cash on you? Well played.
Yeah, thank you. So you really got to go get it, and you're going to be scared. It's going to be scary at first, but you have to believe in yourself and know that it's going to happen. You got to make it happen. We were talking a little bit offline, and I asked you a question. Do you know how much money was in circulation in the U.S. economy last month?
I said I have no fucking idea, by the way.
$1.67 trillion. Just think about that number. If you can touch...
I think it's inconceivable. It's like too big to even like... relate to. If it was like 6 trillion or 12 trillion, does it make any difference in your
brain? Like, if we were going to stack $100 bills from your office window to the ocean, I'd run a damn marathon, probably. Like, really?
I'm sure.
I don't even know how many zeros is trillion?
Let's see, 12 zeros, I believe, is a trillion.
Two Jews trying to do math.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm just lacking the confidence in my tone.
Well, you should have confidence.
If I'm right.
Yeah.
If I am confident.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm not.
So, yeah.
You have to get a piece of it. There's so much money floating around. If you do anything to, like, to create a bucket and scoop it in the water, there's plenty flowing.
It's just like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And if you believe in yourself and build the right relationships, I'm going to say that a lot, it's going to happen. And my wife told me, do it now because I'm not pregnant. And of course... A week later,
I
put in my notice. She's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, you're feeling like the man. You're like, let's fuck this out. God, I feel the testosterone. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm fucking ambitious. I'm following my heart. Let's do this, babe. And she's like, I'm pregnant. You're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. That's pretty much how it went down.
You go get your notice back and like, go back to the cozy position.
Can I retract the notice, please? No, at that point, it was game. Like, once I make up my mind, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's like...
I know that feeling.
Yeah. So, fast forward 2 years, I got some dope clients.
Wait, hang on. Before we fast forward, so what did you do? You put in your notice, and you're like, peace, I'm out. And you, like, did the Spider-Man thing out the window and, like, you know, pulled the web and dipped, started swinging from buildings over to what? You, like, hit up your buddies and were like, hey, you're an attorney, I'm an attorney, let's fucking start a firm? Or how did that work?
So my buddy and his dad already had a firm.
Okay.
And I knew my buddy before, and he actually had been trying to poach me from my firm. And I said, nah, I'm not really ready. And
were you a litigator at this time?
Yes. So I've always been a litigator.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah. And contracts are boring, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You want to be the guy in the fight. I get it.
Exactly. I just don't want to read page after page on my desk, like, go crazy looking at the computer all day. Mm-hmm. And I look at computers enough. Mm-hmm. And so I finally just did it, and they already had something that was doing pretty well. But it's when you enter into that kind of partnership, it really is kind of kill what you eat.
Yes.
Right? They had
built... No, eat what you kill.
Eat what you kill, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had...
You should probably kill it before you eat it.
Well, I don't know. If it's like raw fish from Maui, like, you know...
You should still kill it.
Well, I guess so.
It can be freshly killed.
Freshly killed, yes.
You know,
I see where you're going with that, yeah.
Yeah, I was in Japan, and, like, they do, like, the sushi thing while it's still, like, in the thing.
Half alive.
Yeah, and they, like, cut, like, the leg off an octopus and give it to you. And I'm like, dude, I thought I was into authentic sushi, but, like, the way we do sushi here is not the way they do sushi in Japan. And I like the American version way fucking better.
So are you telling your listeners to go to Japan? Oh, okay, cool.
I'm telling them not to.
Okay.
I'm telling them to kill the shit before they eat it.
Got it.
Metaphorically and
perversely. So I'll kill before I eat. But anyways.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, they had some protection built in for me, but it really was a leap of faith, and I'm just going
to
do it. And
you had to produce or you were going to starve.
Exactly. And things have worked out, and I'm doing all right, which is great. I've met some really good people along the way, and we're growing like crazy, which is good.
What do you do to get clients? Obviously, you have to perform.
Yeah, I mean,
how does your firm get clients? Are you a word of mouth type?
So one of my partners is my friend's dad, and he's had the same institutional client for 40 years.
The same what?
Institutional client.
Uh-huh.
For 40 years.
What does an institutional client mean?
Someone like McDonald's.
Got it.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Mm-hmm.
And they just feed work.
Yeah.
And they could, in a bad year, they could feed the entire firm if we needed it to.
How many people are in your firm?
We've got 7 attorneys, receptionists,
three
paralegals, sous chef, sushi.
Your meal prep people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Supplement delivery boy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. RevLail, salesperson. Yeah, and I mean, their business comes from different ways. A lot of it's word of mouth referral,
mm-hmm.
and that's built over time. It's, you know, building relationships with people and doing good work for them and being passionate about what you do. Part of it is going out and networking, and that's time consuming, but it's a necessary evil. I set aside 2 mornings per week and 2 evenings per week where I go hustle. And
what does your hustle look like?
I sit on 5 boards of directors.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And
what boards?
Jewish Federation, Orange County.
Uh-huh.
The Center Club, uh-huh. Orange County. USD, School of Law, Alumni Association.
You went to USD?
Yeah.
My dad went to USD.
I know.
And Sean Zanganay went to USD. You said this guy reminds you of Sean. I hope you're listening. What's up, doggy? Our real estate agent.
Got it. And a couple others.
Got it.
Yeah. And I mean that.
Why do you sit on boards? Just because it connects you to people?
Connects you to people. And you have to be very specific about what boards you sit on. So the Center Club, there's the sister property is downtown. It's Pacific Symphony Tower.
Uh-huh.
The club up on top.
Uh-huh.
So it's called Club Core.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
I know it well, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a country club without a golf course.
Without the golf.
And you know what that
means. It's a business club.
Exactly.
There's drinking and rich people that are like sitting there for the free Wi-Fi, like schmoozing and complaining about their legal troubles.
Every person that walks in the door is a target to me. You know? And the more hands you shake, the more meetings you're going to get.
Yeah.
Which is in turn on the more relationships, which is in turn on more business.
Yep. Sales is a contact sport. For sure. The more people you're in contact with, the more it's a numbers
game. It's a numbers game. The more hands you shake, the more deals get done.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to be prepared that 9 out of 10 aren't going to work out. And it's not necessarily not going to work out directly, but, you know, people start recognizing you and you'll discover, if you haven't already, that circles run...
Intertwined.
They're intertwined.
Yeah.
They're totally connected. And you'll see someone one night and shake their hand, and then you'll see them 3 months later at another event, and you'll go up to them, and their buddy will be just got hit with a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Really?
And you see them again, and they're, like, standing over a dead hooker covered in blood, and you're like, hey, luckily I have this business card on you. Let's handle this.
Exactly.
I feel you. You're like Ray Donovan, just more handsome.
Totally.
Do you know Ray Donovan?
I don't know about the handsome part, though.
I was being nice, and they can't see you, so they don't know if I'm lying.
True.
Although I told you we need...
He's lying.
And he's married. Cool, dude. So... That level up process, by the way, is fun. It's fun when you've been like outflowing for like a long fucking time, and the shit starts to like the levels and the layers start to stack until like you just wake up one day and you're like, wow, I'm like a connected human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because people that you talked to 4 years ago and 7 years ago know a guy that knows a guy, and all of a sudden you have like, you know, they say it's like 7 degrees of separation from anybody on the planet, right?
Well, yep.
The more you stay in your hub and are like reaching and touching and schmoozing and kicking ass for people and like taking names and remembering names, and you can recognize at these events or these board seats or whatever, you know, when you're 1 or 2, it becomes like 1 or 2 degrees separated from anybody in yep. your hub.
I'll tell you though, the best referral you get is when one of your current clients sends you a close business associate or friend or family member, and they're like, hey, that Gerber guy is
a good
attorney and he does good for me. You got to use him.
Right.
That's when you know you're doing something right.
Right. I met you while being a badass litigator. I was laughing earlier, and I'm not sure if we got this or didn't get this, but in like the first issue Jonathan was handling for our company or for myself, he literally called the other side a little bitch. And I'm like, dude, you are my kind of fucking attorney. And he was saying how he takes it personally when people attack the businesses of his clients. It's like they're attacking him. And it's, you know, you want your attorney to be your attorney more than you want your attorney to be your friend. But if they are invested enough to give a shit in a way that is more than just professionalism, you're going to find people closer to your camp that are going to go the extra mile to defend it. I wanted to have him on here to give my listeners the gift, instead of just doing the social media stuff, instead of just doing the perspective stuff, instead of just doing the nutritional stuff. There's a big unspoken thing that you have to deal with when you're owning and launching and growing a business, and that is hopefully risk mitigation more so than litigation, but you're going to have to deal with legal in one form or another. And if you don't deal with it, you're going to be forced to deal with it later on in a way more expensive way. So you left your big cozy firm to launch your own gig. What steps occurred between like finishing law school, getting your chops in the courtroom, and like learning what it took to fight and to litigate and to argue with other intelligent people when the game is on the line, and being the attorney and litigator and partner in your firm now? Explain to me, when you transitioned over to the business, to your own business, like what type of shit were you doing to, like, you know, shake babies and kiss hands, and like, how are you kicking the tires and getting your name out there? You said you sit on 5 different boards. I imagine you didn't start by sitting on 5 different boards. So like, when you were approaching, okay, I have this mountain to overcome, what did that process look like?
So it goes back to what you were talking about earlier about some people talk a lot, but they don't have anything to back it up. So I was backing it up. I wasn't hustling. I wasn't trying to generate business. I wasn't told that I needed to generate business. I didn't think I had to. I was at big law. The work feeds to you.
Comes to you, yeah.
So I was rolling up my sleeves and just figuring out, yeah, doing it. And what you learn in law school
has nothing to do with law, or has nothing to do with practicing law.
Yeah. Where you graduate in your class at law school doesn't matter after the first couple of years. What you study for months straight in the library, dude, 12 hours a day, literally took one day off in 3 months studying for the bar, has no relevance whatsoever. It's getting out there and getting real world experience, doing it over and over again, seeing things, because like any business, the practice of law is very intricate, and you either know what you're doing or you don't. You're either good or you're not, and there are a lot of traps. And if you're not up to snub on your stuff, you can get caught up, and everything's constantly changing. So you just, you know, it's like playing baseball. Like, you don't learn to hit a fastball until you swing at enough of them. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fastball is a little bit different. So you have to know how to hit a fastball, but you also have to be able to see it come out of the pitcher's hand. What kind of rotation's on it? You know, what part of the plate is it in come to? Where are my weaknesses? How do I compensate for that?
And you learn that by doing it, or by affiliating with somebody that has done it a lot.
Right.
So you can get good faster. You have somebody else watching your 6.
Right. And so that's really what I was doing. And to be honest with you, I didn't even concentrate on developing business until I decided that I wanted to leave.
Uh-huh.
And so it's only been in the last 2 years.
How long have you had your own firm? Or how long have you been a partner with?
April of 2016.
Very cool. How long did you practice law before that? Like 8 years?
This is my 12th year.
12th year. Okay. So 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you recommend somebody get their chops in like a bigger, more established institution prior to running their own shop? Or do you think you could have like accelerated what you know now had you come out of the gate working for yourself?
I think I'm seasoned now. I know the game. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me to take on clients like Rev Labs or others that have sophisticated businesses and be able to handle whatever comes my way.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily know every area of law, but I'm a litigator and I know how to handle that.
Uh-huh.
And subject matter you can learn. So
right,
getting the training was invaluable. Like, I'm not gonna put it, there's no other way to say it. It was invaluable. Did I lose a little bit of edge on generating business? Probably. I'm only two plus years into it. But
and you said you have a big institutional client that continuously feeds business. I mean, how your shop has, you said, 7 attorneys, RevLab supplement delivery guy.
Yes.
You know, a couple of, what, paralegals, a receptionist, whatever.
A right? cheerleader in my office.
Cheerleader, good. How big, like, what is your goal for your business? How big are you trying to get?
Smart growth. We'd like to probably add an attorney or two every year.
Okay.
But we like being lean and mean.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't want to...
You got the mean part down.
Yeah. You don't...
Your body fat could use a little work.
Yeah, true. You don't want to get in over your head with expenses.
What is the name of your firm?
Miller Gerber,
got it.
So that's one of the important things is smart growth. You know, like In-N-Out, they could have expanded across the U.S. 30 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, but they're still only in a few states because they're super smart about how they grow.
Got it. Yeah, more isn't always more.
True, unless it's a double-double.
Yeah, in which case, then make it a 3x3.
Animal style.
We got Olympia coming up. I'm trying to fucking put on some pounds. You know what I'm saying? We need that.
So length. Do you do the, what is it, the paleo triple-triple?
I don't. I go like full bun. I do the middle bun too. I need...
You are a buns kind of guy.
I'm a buns kind of guy.
Me too.
Yeah. I like that about us. But no, I need... Yeah, the girlfriend stepped out for that one.
Girlfriend?
Fiance. Fuck, I'm not used
Damn,
to that
dude.
One yet. I know. It's only been a
You're lucky years. She's not here.
I know. I don't think she's used to it yet either. She's like, yeah, whatever. Like, people are like, what is that about her ring? And she's like, what? Like, you're annoying me.
Can I get one of those, honey?
Yeah, exactly. No, she's like, what? How about the one over there? I'm like, are you pointing with your ring finger? No, she's like the opposite. She's like typing. She's like, what is what? And she's like, that? And she's like, oh yeah, I got engaged. I'm like, you're like the least girly girl about this like whole, she's like in work mode, not, you yeah, know what I mean? Like we didn't even come out with an announcement. I was getting my first congratulations like from people that listen to the podcast. I'm like, that's only appropriate that like the people that are listening to the show are the ones that like know me better than people that have been following me on Instagram for like 4 years, you know? I want to go into the program. I have a lot of listeners that are in the beginning phase. They're either sole proprietors, they're starting a business, they're thinking about starting another business. They're, you know, small to mid-size entrepreneurs. And I know when I talk to you, and I'm not a small or mid-size entrepreneur, and I have many companies. I know you're constantly untangling my wires and making sure that like I respect the corporate veil and make sure I'm you know, pulling money from the right places and that my structures are sound. And, you know, I think I'm a problem child is in terms of complication, but I also give you a lot of billable hours, so you got to love it.
No complaints here.
I don't think we have to get overly intricate, but I think if I'm learning stuff from you constantly, I wanted you to be in front of my audience to be able to like give them some perspective of like the preemptive stuff that I didn't do or that people in general don't do that can save them a shit ton of headache. Because I think a big reticence for getting like proper legal structure is A, ignorance, but B, they have this perception that it's going to cost them like tens of thousands of dollars to be able to like incorporate or have somebody look at their books or their employee manuals or whatever it is. And that's really not the case, right? For a couple hundred bucks, you can get X, Y, and Z done, and that's going to save what is almost guaranteeing you a lawsuit somewhere down the line. So talk to me a little bit about what budding entrepreneurs or seasoned entrepreneurs that are now starting a new gig should be looking for, or how they can think about things that can save them a shit ton of brain damage down the road.
You're totally right. And
I usually am.
Maybe not about a couple hundred bucks, but
I like that about you. A couple hundred bucks an hour.
Yeah. No, but seriously, it's inevitable that as you grow as a business, someone's going to troll you in some way and try to hit you with a lawsuit that you're going to have to defend. An employee is going to sue you. Something's going to happen from a legal standpoint. And it's going to cost you a lot of money if you're not set up. And it's way cheaper. I mean, astronomically more cheap to protect yourself up front. And it's really not that expensive. It's not that time consuming either. There are, and stop me if I get too intricate in details, but there are three
you're
general...
You're too intricate. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. There are three general areas that are the easiest to address and the most important for your viewers and your listeners who are up and coming, growing, and or there and going to the next level if they're not already protected. And the first is pretty basic, but a lot of people, you'd be surprised, how many people are out there running a business as a individual? They don't have a company. They don't have a corporate entity through which they run their business. And if your listeners don't take anything else away other than this sentence,
get ready to write it down.
Write this down. Do not ever sign anything personally. Do not sign personal guarantees unless absolutely necessary.
So back up for a second and talk to me about the difference, and let's do a real quick one, 101, what it means to be operating as an entity versus operating as an individual.
Okay. So once you decide you're into your business or you already have it, there are various forms of corporate entities that you can choose to operate your business as, such as an LLC, a S Corp, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are benefits to running your business as an entity rather than an individual.
Like what? What are the benefits?
There are financial benefits, which you have to talk to a CPA about, but there are also liability benefits.
That's his legal answer instead of giving us CPA advice, because he's a licensed attorney, not a public accountant.
Correct.
Continue, though.
Thank you.
I'm used to conversationally throwing shit in every fucking direction. You have a greater liability than I do.
Very true. So if you enter into contracts for in your company's name and not as an individual, and God forbid something happens to your business and you've got a BK, you've got to shed one of your companies, then
you can collapse it.
You can collapse it and you don't have to worry about your individual assets. But if you're going off and operating as an individual, scrubbing barnacles off the bottom of a ship, and another ship comes, or you're scrubbing the barnacle a little bit too hard and you pop a hole in the boat, and all of a sudden you drown a multi-million dollar yacht, the owner comes after you.
Every single thing you own.
Every single thing, with some exceptions, is subject to that judgment.
Understood. So you're saying that the purpose of an LLC in large part is to limit the liability to just your company?
Correct.
Hence maybe the name of an LLC?
Yes. Limited liability company.
Ah. Okay. Very cool.
Yes.
Got it. So that's a huge benefit, ladies and gents, is if you're establishing an LLC, it mitigates the liability. If you fuck something up or your company fucks something up, if you're respecting the corporate veil, so to speak, it makes it so that the limitation, your liability is limited to only what that company has made and not things of yours that you have made through other companies or things that you owned prior to starting that company. And these are really helpful things, obviously, to look at prior to, you know, signing your name or moving money improperly is how are you set up and what's the best, you know, entity structure for your type of business that's going to be the cheapest and most protective of what you're trying to create.
And the other part of it is once you're set up, and this is what lawyers are for, this is what I do for you, this is what any lawyer who gives a shit about their client should do for them, is to manage that, to make sure that the client understands you have a bank account in your company's name and you're not mixing your personal money with your company's money. You have to respect that separation between the corporate person, which is your company, and you as an individual, because if you don't, then that whole protection that's provided collapses.
It's pierceable.
And they pierce it.
Word. Like
you don't want to get pierced.
No, it's like my industrial when I was in a punk band and like in high school. It's just not good for anybody.
That would be an awesome punk rock band name, Piercing the Corporate Veil. Or just Piercing the Veil.
Piercing the Veil, yeah, I like that. I think with the punk rock crowd, the pun might not be appreciated.
Right.
But, you know, for us True. Older guys that liked alternative music when we were younger, and I still do, I think it would be very dope.
I remember going to see Unwritten Law at Soma.
That is awesome. My band played at Soma probably 50, 60 times.
Excellent.
I played with Starting Line and Fall Out Boy at Soma, actually.
Oh, wow.
Do you know either of those two bands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Unwritten Law. Hey, little girl, look what you do.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, you're old. Anyway, yes, Unwritten Law and Blink-182 actually played together a ton, and we're both from San Diego.
Both San Diego bands.
And I think Unwritten Law kind of went down the partying too much route, and Blink-182 went down the pop route.
MTV route.
And they clicked a little bit harder.
They clicked super hard.
Yeah. So first one is what kind of entity you have. Second one is how you're managing the entity.
I kind of look at those as the same.
The same, okay.
It's the getting in the right kind of protection from a entity standpoint. And there are also other things that it's too much minutia for now that are beneficial to doing business as a company as opposed to an individual. So that's the entity formation and management is one category for me.
Okay.
The second category for me would be contracts.
Uh-huh.
And I know I said it like contracts.
You love contracts. I'm more of a litigation guy myself.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Yeah, but you're looking at your agreements.
Right, and it can be anything from contracts with vendors, contracts with suppliers, contracts with employees, and those are probably the most prevalent and the most important right now. And when I say contracts, you don't necessarily want to have contracts with employees, but I mean contracting with various parties to get yourself out of trouble.
So that would be like an ADP or a Sure Payroll or like a payroll service that has like an employee like standard operating procedure or something?
You could outsource to a third party like that, but having your employees sign arbitration agreements when they come in, waiving certain claims, getting releases on the way out, making sure that your contracts with vendors have clauses that state that if anything goes wrong, to the extent allowable by law, it's your fault and you have to defend and indemnify me. You know, if you supply me a protein powder that's bad and someone comes after me for it, then I'm pointing the finger at you and you're paying my legal.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have those. You can either get really intense in the contracts or not so intense. And the crowd that we're speaking to right now is small to medium businesses that are growing and are going to the next level. And you don't need tons of contracts. You just need basics.
Yeah. But to make sure that the stuff that is the glue that is holding the legal fabric of the company together is sound.
And it goes back to risk mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
By contract, how much risk can I take away from me and put onto someone else?
Understood.
And the name of the game in this business is risk mitigation. Because you do that, you're saving money down the road. I know I'm not stupid. No one wants to pay a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be sorry if you don't. Let me give you an example. I have a friend, two friends actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's like two more friends than I have. That's incredible.
I know.
Unless you count
the employees. I actually pay them by that.
Okay.
Hour.
Okay.
Two friends. No. Cool. So they're both from La Jolla. They both went to La Jolla High. And they invested in a small little business. It was like a fast casual Mexican business at the time. And it was literally
Mexican food business?
Yes.
Okay. Fast casual Mexican business?
Mexican food, sorry.
Yeah, gotcha.
Fast casual is a type of food.
Oh, gotcha.
Restaurant, which doesn't have wait service and doesn't have tables.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it fast casual. Sorry, I got ahead of myself there.
Fast casual.
Thanks for bringing it down for me.
You and your legal jargon.
Yeah, so they it was a little shack, like 600 square feet, one location. And they put like a couple $50,000 into it. Didn't have anyone look at any of the agreements. Fast forward 6 years, there are 14 units, which means 14 different locations of this particular restaurant, and they're all netting close to $1 million a year.
Each?
Yes.
Wow.
So you're talking a shitload of money for those of you who can't do math like me.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it is, but it's a shitload.
I think it's like $18 a month.
Yeah, 14 million.
Oh, yeah, might
do
that, yeah.
Some, between the two.
We'll have to check them. When Liz comes back in, we can ask her.
Somewhere between the two. And we come to find out the other owner's a bad dude. He's got a past. He's not making distributions. He's not paying employees. He's not paying vendors. He's commingling money. You name it, he's doing it. So my friends come to me and they say, let's kick this guy out. I take a look at the agreement that controls the relationship between the owners. And there's one sentence in there that says, no matter what I do, the bad guy, all the intellectual property is mine, which means the recipes are mine, the name's mine. You can kick me out, but I get to keep all that. So I tell my clients, well, we can kick him out, and then we have 14 rents, but we have no recipes, we have no name. What do you want to do? So that's a perfect example. I got ahead of myself. We're in litigation. There are $150,000 in legal fees. Do you know how much it would have cost me to review that operating agreement 5 years ago?
$18.
$500.
That's my default guess.
$200 to $500.
$200 to $500.
And I would have flagged that sentence. I would have said,
Yeah.
And at the time, They were good investors. They got 50% of that business with $50,000.
Wow.
I'm telling you, risk mitigation.
Yeah. And how's the outcome looking?
I can't disclose that.
Okay. Got it. Understood. So that's a very... I have about 400,000 of those things. And, you know, you can always connect the dots looking backwards. It's real difficult to do it in live time, seeing every angle yourself, which is why having somebody look at your shit allows you to focus on the stuff that you're good at instead of having to... Like, I'm actually, like, pretty damn good at reading contracts. It's just, it's something that stuck with me, and I just always liked the offer acceptance and consideration and remedies and, you know, all
I'm not a contract guy.
But come on. You know that much of it.
Yes.
You know, and you know, I think also because in business school in our first, you know, first time I was wrestling with, like, you know, loss recovery services, my very first business when I had Noah and was, like, broke as hell and didn't know what I was doing. I, like, a big part of being a public adjuster is, like, getting your contract approved by the Department of Insurance. So I was, like, I wrestled with that a lot, making sure that that was right the first time around, way, way, way back in the day, way before we did anything in Vegas, way before I moved on to Rev and my dad stepped in with loss recovery services, and now ironically I'm back in, like, the captain's chair of LRS, and super ironically doing the contract thing again and re-reviewing our contracts. But that was, like, those two pieces of paper of, like, the public adjuster agreement and, you know, so with, like, our retainer, it's not a retainer fee, but, like, the retainer agreement and public adjusting contract were, like, the very two pieces of, like, legal, first two pieces of legal paper I ever reviewed. And there's so much shit that I don't catch, even in easy contracts now. Every time this happens and something else goes down and I want to sue somebody but I can't, or I'm getting sued for, like, a technicality on something where it's just, it's somebody taking advantage of it, I'm like, fuck, I should have had Jonathan look at it. So I can attest that you, it's really, really cheap insurance to have somebody that knows their stuff be able to skim something real quick and to not do it with, like, you know, your uncle or your, like, someone's friend who just passed the bar, but, like, somebody that fucking does this professionally, that's preferably one or two steps removed from your immediate circle, that's doing you a legal favor. After contracts, after legal organization or your entity structure, what is the last bullet? You said there was three parts of the program. It was, like, your contracts, right?
Yes. Well, entity formation and management.
Uh-huh.
Second is contracts. And the third is managing the business. And from a legal standpoint, in today's world, what that really means is managing your employees. And there's a lot of minutia that goes with that, and I'm not going to get caught in the weeds.
Okay.
But let me tell you, the basic pillars are making sure you have the right policies and procedures in place.
Uh-huh.
Making sure you're training your employees, and making sure you paper the shit out of your files. Let me give you another story.
I like stories. Good.
You're really going to like this one.
Okay.
So I have a client, and they had an employee who they treated really well.
Oh, I fucking know exactly where he has that smug fucking Jewy smirk on his face. I love it. Yeah, tell me the story. I love it. Go for it.
This woman one day tells them she's dying of lupus.
Oh my goodness, that sounds serious.
Awful, right?
Yeah.
So being the good employer this company is...
Yes.
They say, well, of course you can work from home.
Uh-huh.
Right? Fast forward a couple months, and lo and behold, she's been embezzling a ton of money from this company.
What? Right? People do that?
Yeah. And so they call her out on it, and then she has the audacity to turn around and sue them and say, well, you didn't pay me enough money. You didn't pay me for overtime. You didn't give me my breaks.
My cell phone bill.
Yeah, and as great as this client is, it didn't have all the documents I would like to see.
What assholes.
You know, showing that, yes.
Why do you put up with people like this?
You know, I don't know. So this is when she took her breaks. This is when she was dying. You know, this is when she clocked out. And we were able to work it out, most part, for this client. But it just goes to show you that no matter how...
It would have been way quicker and way easier if every step of the... Like, we... this client... had a personal relationship where she texts, she's like, I'm sick, I'm going to the doctor. And as a human being, you're like, okay, yeah, it's cool, don't worry about it, you can work from home. And you don't like make a mark in the calendar somewhere like, this is when this happened, this Correct. Is where this was documented, or she started working from home. Because you're talking as like a guy, where it's like, fuck, you get a text message and like she's at the hospital and just finds out she blah blah blah, and you're like, yeah, of course, fuck, don't worry about it. Yes, are you able to manage it from there? Are you able to, is there anything you need me to do to help? Is it, does your kid know? Da da da.
Yeah.
When, you know, lo and behold, she's a thieving, lying bitch.
Yeah. And employees are drama.
You Wait, know. So just out of curiosity, what happened to her?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think things ended up very well for her, though.
Got it.
Yeah, I think she may be sitting in prison right now for embezzlement.
There is justice in the world.
There is. There is.
God bless Jonathan Gerber.
Yeah. The wheels of justice churn slowly, though.
They turn fucking so slowly, yeah. Jesus Christ. But at least they're turning.
They are turning.
That's very good.
Yeah, and sunbathing in Santee.
Do they get podcasts in jail? Because I would be way less nice right now if I knew she could hear this.
But I know that they can accept postcards.
Ooh.
Just a thought.
I like that thought.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll get back to that when the microphone's on.
Yeah. So those are the three basic components of...
So what do you do? What do you do when somebody, like... What do you look at with that third bullet, like when it comes to the management piece of it? If somebody hires you, you're like, hey, so how do you run things? Or what kind of stuff do you consider or ask them? I mean, I imagine people hire you in the beginning because of an issue, and then the relationship evolves into like a, I want you to do more or be more involved to like help prevent this in the future, or you kind of like, the relationship obviously expands. But if somebody is just interested in like, hey, I have a personal training business, or I run a pay-per-click business, and like, you know, my personal credit card is attached, and I don't really have an LLC formed. I'm the sole proprietor, and do I need an S corp? Do I need a C corp? How does this work? Like, let's say they've gotten past that point, and they now have like a new, a formed entity, like a separate business,
legal existence.
Thank you. Where do you start? What do you ask? What do you look at? What are things that you consider, or they should be considering? In am I running things properly?
That's a really good question. And the order I gave it to you in, the entity formation management, the contracts, and the employee management is kind of the progression that I use.
Got
it. It's baby steps. And depending on where they are in their business and what they want to invest at the time, that kind of dictates where we're going to go with things. But first, I want to make sure they're set up properly. They have the bank account down. They don't have individual liability. Then I want to make sure the company can get rid of as much risk as it can with contracts.
I can't believe you told my employment story. Dude, we had this chick. She fucking stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from us. That is so gnarly.
And then she sued you.
And then, yeah, and she sued
us. While she was dying of lupus.
Allegedly.
Jesus.
That was the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, Moses. Totally.
And then the last would be the employee management, because it's the most complicated. It's probably the most expensive. But generally what I want to do is I want to come in, I want to see, what are your policies and procedures? How are employees reporting to you? How are you communicating with them? And how many employees do you have? And how do we make sure that if you have supervisors, are they trained? That sort of thing. And that... For you know, you really got to be in that middle sized business for that to kick in.
Applicable.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know enough to be dangerous, no matter what size you are.
Uh huh.
And look, the more you know, the better you're gonna be.
Uh huh.
And I own my own business.
Uh huh.
And my attitude, maybe because I'm cynical because I'm a litigator, is that
I don't really find you that cynical.
No, but I mean, I've seen a lot of. You know, Shit. Lupus in my time.
Oh, yeah, a lot of just completely fucking screwy situations. You're like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
With my business, I want to be very cautious because it's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm growing it, and I want to make sure it's growing as wisely as possible. And I'm going to dump whatever it takes into it. The one area I do need help is marketing, you know. You can't do everything well.
You know anybody that's good at marketing?
I think Pretty Face sitting across from me is pretty good.
You're talking about the Eric Weddle?
I was talking about you.
Aww, you're a fucking sweetie. There's an Eric Weddle thing on my desk that he was commenting on earlier that we didn't provide context for, and it says, "Joshua, I love you." And it was feeling happy at first, and he's like, "That's cool," because he's an Eric Weddle fan. And then he brought up the fact that, like, the San Diego city and owners were piles of fuck to the San Diego Chargers, and how the NFL is dead to me because I lost the team that I've been watching since I was a little prepubescent boy.
You'll appreciate this then. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I did. Feel free to. So, you did mean to cut me off.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did.
Yeah.
There was an email.
So enough about you, because me.
This is about your story.
Okay.
There was an email that was sent out from the Los Angeles Chargers.
Fucking God, why do you got to fucking say those words together in here?
But in the subject line, it said, "Purchase your San Diego Chargers gear."
Awesome.
They're still screwing. And there's this huge piece in the LA Times about how no one wants them and how they still can't get it straight. And really, the Spanos are a bunch of idiots. But, you know, most of your listeners probably don't care about the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, shoot me a DM at RevLabsPrez and let me know if you guys give a shit about the Chargers. I'm interested to know if you guys are football fans. Cool, man. So when should somebody incorporate? As soon as they transact their very first thing, like prior to transacting their very first like service or good, like if when they're in the conception stage, should they get proof of concept prior to needing to establish an entity? Like at what point, I mean, if people are like accepting PayPal and Venmo for personal training online, should they have an entity for that?
Totally. You should not transact your first piece of business until you have a company, because the company is the one who's transacting the business, not you.
How much does it cost to set up a business?
It's like $1,000 for everything.
And that's like operating.
If you go to LegalZoom, it's like $750, and LegalZoom is going to be a bunch of bullshit.
Horrible, yeah.
Horrible.
I used Rocket Lawyer and LegalZoom and all that stuff when I was first starting out, too. And the first time my dad ever looked at it, he like laughed in my face and was like, "Okay, but seriously, enough jokes, you're an idiot."
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And LegalZoom will take your $750, and then you're on your own. You got to figure out the documents. It's still pretty complicated. But having an attorney.
Yeah, they literally give you like blank templates where you're supposed to type in the stuff, and you have no idea if you're. Yeah. It's like, put other party's name here. It's like, you have to be like, A, half a lawyer, or B, stuff that looks and sounds really good that is completely filled out wrong and like half backwards that doesn't fucking protect you.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing.
Hope you have errors and omissions insurance.
The other thing is, if you have a lawyer do it for you, and you know they care about you or they're trying to counsel you, they're going to say, "Why don't you let me maintain the books for your corporation?" Because part of making sure that you keep your personal life, your personal business, and your business separate is doing things the state requires to maintain a business.
Like corporate minutes.
So every year on the anniversary of your incorporation or formation, the starting of your business, you're required to file another set of documents with the state. And if you don't, your corporation gets suspended and then you lose the protection. So what an attorney will do is say, "Hey, I'm going to maintain those books for you." And every year when it's time, there's a little pop-up on my calendar and say, "Oh, it's time to file for Rev Labs, and I'm going to do it for you. And I'm also going to be what's called an agent for service of your company." And that means that instead of you having to worry about getting served with a lawsuit or getting some kind of legal notice from some company that's investigating you for lead poisoning, it goes to your attorney. So, you know, your attorney takes care of it for you.
Yeah, 100%. And God knows, like, I get days and days of mail stacked up. There's a reason I have different agents, you know, that are, or what is it, agent of process? I have a bunch of... Agent for service of process. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do so? If somebody wants advice or to retain you or wants to see whether or not we are joking around about you being handsome, how does somebody see what you're about, reach out to you?
Easiest is email. It's jgerber, jgerber, at m like Miller, g like Gerber, hyphen, l like lawyer, l like lawyer, p like Peter.com.
Okay, so say it all together now.
jgerber at mmg-llp.com.
Very cool. Limited legal practice?
Limited liability partnership.
Why are LLPs always law firms? Or why are law firms always LLPs?
Because each partner has limited liability.
Got it. And that's different than... Oh, because it's one partner doesn't pass liability to the other partner?
Correct.
Got it. Okay, so it segments it on a member level, too. Understood.
Cool. And then I have another corporation which holds my interest.
That holds your ownership percentage.
And my LLP.
And that's
so it. Now you figure... Now you see, I do the entities, too.
Understood. Yeah. Well, you're a business guy... I don't know if you're a business guy first and a lawyer second, or a lawyer first and a business guy second, but you sure should have to know both.
Changes from hour to hour.
Very cool. Last question before I let you get out of here. What are actionable steps, legal or not legal, that somebody can take to live a more empowered life?
I think the best advice I can give, and it's...
Shake babies, kiss hands.
It transcends all businesses, is... You can't be scared to let a deal go. You can't pay too much. There's always going to be another deal, and I know it's cliche, but everything happens for a reason. And every day I see people getting themselves into bad deals that turn out being really problematic for them. My wife and I just purchased a home. Before we found the one, there was one that I really didn't like. And she loved. She loves all of them.
Right.
And they were asking too much. I wasn't scared to let it go.
Uh-huh.
And we let it go, and we found the one of our dreams. So you got to make sure you're making intelligent decisions. Don't get too emotional about things. And don't get yourself into a bad deal.
Yeah, I think Gandhi said intention is a full commitment to making something happen, or that something will become the case, without an emotional attachment to whether or not it's right. Meaning, like, you're going to endeavor as rigorously as possible to make something happen or to prevent something from happening, but you don't have that, like, I need this to happen in order to be okay.
Totally.
Type sense. And I get behind that a lot. What you're saying is it shifts the tide of power. It empowers you like a motherfucker if you are not attached to things being the case or not being the case. Like, an employee is like a top producer, but is a raving pile of shit. You got to be willing to cut them loose. The second you're not willing to put your foot down is the second that you lose your ability to influence them. The second you have to have a house, whether or not they're asking too much, is the second that seller has you by the balls. So that was a unique one, but I like it a lot, is the ability to say no and, like, let go of your attachment to making a deal or something be the case or not. Evan, you're the man, dude. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Guys, hit him up. Evan Gerber. Thanks for stopping by. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now.